Hey, whether you enjoy listening to Breaking Down Collapse or Building Up Resilience, I think you'll also really enjoy our bonus content on Patreon.
Yeah, Kellen and I take 20 minutes each week to talk about the news that's happening all around us and Collapse as it plays out. We like to have a little fun with it, but also make sure that you're aware of what's going on in the world of Collapse.
We look forward to having you join us there. The link to join us on Patreon is in the episode description.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
If you're in the U.S., I am certain that you have heard the news about the assassination of Charlie Kirk yesterday. If you are not in the U.S., you may have heard about it. This episode is not focused on the topic. I actually have another whole other thing I'm going to talk about, but I did think it was prudent to probably make mention of this briefly, and as it's a pretty major news event here in the U.S., and talk about what it means in regards to Collapse. You know, in 2019, I started listening to Robert Evans' podcast called It Could Happen Here, and he basically talks about if there were ever to be a second civil war in the U.S., how would it start? What would it look like? And I just remember listening to it and thinking, he makes it sound so simple, like you just descend into this sort of violence that doesn't feel like it should be possible from where we were at, right? Now, yes, at the time, I mean, over the last few years, at that time in 2019, we had had things like Charlottesville, right? We had had, there had been other violent events and protests, but political assassination was not on the scorecard, right? It wasn't on the docket. It wasn't happening. And if I could zoom forward from 2019, listening to that podcast to today, I think I would go, oh, wow, okay, it is possible. Like, it is that simple. It is that smooth of a transition where speech and rhetoric turns into threats, and those threats turn into action. So Charlie Kirk, if you're not aware, was a far-right political influencer, basically. He had, you know, YouTube channel, TikTok, X, whatever social media platform he could get an audience on, he would debate people. And he would most typically debate college kids. And he was just known for having these sort of outlandish ideas, extreme ideas. And, you know, it was an attempt to normalize them and also to make the people that he was debating sound or look really stupid in order to get his ideas across. And his followers loved it. I mean, it was like, you know, crack cocaine as far as the verification that they wanted, right, that they were correct because of the way that Charlie was able to out-talk these 19-year-olds on college campuses. The shooting occurred yesterday at Utah Valley University. He was scheduled to do two different, I guess, debates / speeches at Utah universities as part of his tour. This was his first outing as part of that tour. And somebody shot him. At the time of recording this, they have not caught that person. I'll be full disclosure, I'm actually recording this yesterday. I'm recording this on Wednesday night. And so at this time that I'm recording this, they have not caught the shooter. And it sounds like the shooting was from about 200 yards away. So it was definitely a very experienced shooter. All that said, I'm not going to talk about Charlie. I'm not going to talk about his ideologies. I'm not going to talk about any of that. It's mostly when we're talking about Collapse, we're talking about a marked shift in tone and moments that can change culture, moments that can change the conversation, and paradigm-shifting moments in which there is now a precedent for violence, right? There was the attempted assassination of Donald Trump several months ago, which, and by several months ago, I guess, wow, we're looking at like, it's been over a year now. But yeah, it can be disputed as to, you know, people have different thoughts about the veracity of that event and everything that went behind it. But that was kind of a close call that sort of eased us into accepting this type of violence. And today, you know, we have the actual carrying out of it. Now, one interesting thing that to consider is that shooting deaths happen every day, right? School shootings are happening constantly. Charlie Kirk himself said that shootings and murders, death by gun, was a necessary part of gun ownership, and that in order to, you know, maintain the Second Amendment, it was unfortunately necessary or acceptable that those deaths happened in order to continue to have Second Amendment rights. We hear nonstop stories of people being shot and killed from gun violence. So Charlie is just one person, you know, in a list of thousands of people that will be killed this year from gun violence. What makes it different, at least in my mind, and you know, obviously what causes me to believe that there's potential for this to escalate in a way, is that he was a high-profile person, that this was done in public, and that with the left versus right, you know, schism right now, chasm that we have, it is an obviously politically motivated killing. And if one side can do it, why can't the other side, right? Or how does it, what is the reaction from the right, from Donald Trump? What is the reaction as far as who he punishes and how he punishes for this? Is it truly just going after the individual who is behind it? Or is it about going after a group of people? And quite frankly, he can pick the group of people, right? And it's the type of event that bolsters up the political extremism and can cause an escalation in further violence. Let's hope not. Let's hope that this peters out and it's no flashpoint, or at least not a functional flashpoint for violence. But who knows? All right. Anyway, that's my note. So from here, let's get on to the episode that I had prepared. You know, I posted to the Patreon channel the other day a nice long rant about how some days are better than others, and some days I just really struggle with the current situation, both from a political, I mean, just everything with collapse, right? But for me right now in the short term, my family, the political situation takes a heavy mental toll. But it turns out, well, I'm not alone. And maybe you would agree that your mood has changed over time as well, in a general sense. Maybe not. Maybe you're becoming happier, and I hope so. I will also note that, you know, in general, I'm still a very happy person. But there are moments that are just really hard, and I think that's going to continue to be the case as we cascade into collapse. There's an article that was just recently released. I guess I should say it's a study that was recently released. This is in phys.org, and it says, rising temperatures linked to declining moods around the world. So it's not just politics. It's not just decrease in, you know, food access or water access in poorer countries. It's not just a rise in pollution or in, you know, not getting along with your friends, family, or neighbors because of political reasons. It's not just sea level, right? Anyway, it's not just everything else that has to do with collapse, but just this one piece alone is actually linked directly to declining moods, and that is the rise of temperatures. Of all the things that are happening in collapse, rising temperatures is one that is on a fairly consistent increase. And so it just posed an interesting question in my mind, which is just that we know that mental health is declining. We know the numbers of people that rely on antidepressants and medication is increasing. This is happening all over the world in wealthy countries and poor countries. And I think it's fascinating because there's again, a multitude of reasons why, you know, in wealthy countries, there is a large lack of satisfaction and fulfillment because of the number of people who are perhaps sitting in an office all day long, you know, not getting the exercise, the outdoor, the relationships. You know, people are becoming less likely to talk to each other, to interact. Younger generations are becoming more isolated and worse at dating. There's loneliness epidemics. Meanwhile, you know, life in poorer countries is becoming harder and harder to maintain. The high-level catastrophes that are being experienced and the fight just for everyday survival is getting harder as well. So knowing that there's this one constant, which is temperature rise, again, just makes you wonder, what is the state of the world going to be from a mental health standpoint a decade or two into the future? So I'm just going to read a few pieces of this. It says, rising global temperatures affect human activity in many ways. Now a new study illuminates an important dimension of the problem. Very hot days are associated with more negative moods, as shown by a large-scale look at social media postings. So this was an interesting way, I think, to go about this research. They used social media, and they examined 1.2 billion social media posts. So this wasn't a small study. Sometimes you hear, like, you know, 1,000 people were surveyed, and then they extrapolate hugely based off of that number. This looked at 1.2 billion social media posts from 157 countries over the span of a year. The research finds that when the temperature rises above 95 degrees Fahrenheit, or 35 degrees Celsius, expressed sentiments become about 25% more negative in lower income countries and about 8% more negative in better off countries. Extreme heat affects people emotionally, not just physically. I am curious about the disparity there between lower income countries and better off countries. Why was the rate three times higher in the lower income countries? Obviously, I mean, I think the biggest reason is going to be access to air conditioning and the type of labor perhaps being performed by the majority of the population in a lower income country. Of course, even inside at 95 degrees Celsius, if you don't have access to AC, you are constantly going to be aggravated by the heat, right? Your body does not have the chance to cool itself down. Your brain does not have the chance to cool itself down. And so, yeah, I guess that is quite obvious why, you know, posting to social media, the sentiment is going to be more negative. Whereas in a wealthier country, you may not be working the same physical labor and you may be inside in an air-conditioned building. Doesn't necessarily, again, mean that better off countries overall are suffering less with mental health. Some of those other factors could very well be contributing, you know, in more wealthy countries. It would take some research to figure out if there is, you know, if it balances out in the end or if it stays much more negative in those lower income countries. Quote, our study reveals that rising temperatures don't just threaten physical health or economic productivity. They also affect how people feel every day all over the world, says Siki Zhang, I'm probably pronounced that terribly, a professor in MIT's Department of Urban Studies and Planning and Center for Real Estate, and co-author of a new paper detailing the results. This work opens up a new frontier in understanding how climate stress is shaping human well-being at a planetary scale.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
So, you know, my question would be, from that research, what are the effects of this? Because a mental health crisis is more than just being sad, right? When we look at the effects of collapse, most often, and I think most wisely, is to discuss what kind of feedback loop or just feedback in general does a certain consequence of collapse create. And more often than not, we find that they are positive feedback loops. It's not just that, oh, on days where it gets hot, people are a little more angry on social media. If people are more angry on social media, they're more angry with each other. They're more angry with themselves, right? They are more lonely. They are going to be less likely to have the motivation to do the things that they need to do for their survival. They're less likely to be kind to somebody else and more likely to commit crime. We know already that that is another statistic. I don't know the numbers on it, but crime increases with heat. It's not just because crime's easier to commit in the summer than in the winter, right? When you can go out with just a t-shirt on. But it has to do more with, again, the aggravation that we feel in our bodies and minds with a sweltering heat. So as the temperature continues to climb on a consistent basis globally, in the number of days over 95 degrees increases exponentially, so too then will the poor moods, the aggravation, the anger, discomfort, all of the above of the planet's population. Does that cause any sort of cascading effect in the amount of, crime being committed? Does it increase the amount of, or I should say, does it decrease the amount of labor being done? Does it decrease productivity? Now, I as a person, do I feel that productivity is like this super important thing that we measure our success off of? No, but much of our current, all of our current system is derived from people being productive in industry. As industry slows, so does the economy. As the economy slows, recessions, it makes it harder for people to pay for and purchase and get the things that they need to live. So a decrease in productivity, of course, is going to also equal an increase in hardship. All right. Scrolling down to the bottom of this article. In the long run, using long-term global climate models and expecting some adaptation to heat, the researchers also produced a long-range estimate of the effects of extreme temperatures on sentiment by the year 2100. Extending the current findings to that time frame, they project a 2.3% worsening of people's emotional well-being based on high temperatures alone by then, although that is a far-range projection. Quote, it's clear now with our present study adding to findings from prior studies that weather alters sentiment on a global scale. And as weather and climates change, helping individuals become more resilient to shocks to their emotional states will be an important component of overall societal adaptations. And I think this is important. The researchers note that there are many nuances to the subject and room for continued research in this area. For one thing, social media users are not likely to be a perfectly representative portion of the population, with young children and the elderly almost certainly using social media less than other people. You know, the extrapolating this data out and saying 2.3% increase in, what was the word that they used? 2.3% in the worsening of people's emotional well-being based on high temperatures alone. That's a very specific number over a very long range of time. And like they're saying, if you can't, generational changes are huge. The difference between Gen Z and millennials and Gen X and, past generations, as far as satisfaction levels go, right? I am not Gen Z myself. I'm not really one to believe in like these hard cut lines between generations and then stereotyping what happens, what each generation represents and those types of things. But I think there is a trend with younger and younger people, myself included, right? A higher sense of dissatisfaction. As people come to understand the system and what's happening in our system. As those systems are eroding, younger people get frustrated with the actions of previous generations that put them in this situation, right? And future generations, 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, are going to look back at today's Gen Z and millennials, and it could be 10 times worse than the way that Gen Z or millennials look at Gen X or boomers, right? It's impossible to say what that's going to look like, but it's interesting to just kind of be able to see that at the very least, there is a very specific correlation between the levels of dissatisfaction or emotional well-being tied to temperatures. The number of days above 95 degrees Fahrenheit throughout the world, in many parts of the world, are supposed to grow, again, exponentially. Places like Phoenix or the southeast of the U.S., places in the Middle East, Africa, the tropics, are expected to, you know, to triple or quadruple over the next 30 to 40, 50 years. All right. I hope that you are finding ways to keep your mental health up. I hope that you're finding ways to stay cool on those hot days. But most importantly, finding ways to keep yourself grounded. I know that's something that I work on every day as we head into collapse. One thing that Kellen said previously on the podcast a couple of times, that he would much rather go through collapse with someone who is mentally prepared than with someone who is physically or temporally prepared. So yeah, let's work on being those people that are emotionally well so that we can better support those around us as we go through these hard times. All right, thanks for being here. See you again tomorrow.
Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.